And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we are gladly and always working on your financial freedom. It's another great day to be a real estate investor. A few weeks back, talking to a friend, fellow investor, we're always discussing investing, real estate, investment principles, just a shared focus of keeping and growing our wealth, our net worth, creating passive income. Sent me this list of financial principles. This is part two of reviewing those financial principles. And if you missed the first show, it aired on April 7th. You can always go back and find that on the YouTube channel, the Lifestyles Unlimited YouTube channel, the website, obviously, lifestylesunlimited.com. Podcast app, my favorite way, very simple. It's free to subscribe. Just find us there on your podcast app. You can listen to that show and thousands of other shows in your free time when you're driving or working in the yard or what have you. But it's important to share these principles as they will shed real light on just who we become as real estate investors. And yes, I use that term become because we change ourselves. We change our mindset. Our mindset evolves as a real estate investor from the traditional conventional wisdom that's been ingrained in us from a very young age. But as a real estate investor, you will transform from a saver to an investor, not only in the actions that you perform, but in your mindset, the way you think about things, the way you understand things. But an investor is about action now. A saver is about action later. Just look at traditional forms of retirement, the IRA and the 401k. You can call them investments if you wish. I disagree. Anything that is about something 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, that is about saving. And for a real estate investor, we understand the only real investment is an investment that provides cash flow now, if not now, in the very near term. You buy something that pays you, an IRA, a personal home, a 401k. You pay for those monthly, each and every month. On the contrary, we buy something and it's paying us in the near term, if not immediately. And these principles are going to shed deep light on that. Let me just give you a real basic example, though. This, you may chuckle when you hear this, but it's something that comes to mind. Let's say I take 20 pounds of rice and I vacuum seal it, and then I put it in a food storage container and I set it in a food pantry for future use down the road, years from now. Do I walk out when I'm done with that and announce to my family, hey, I just cooked dinner? No, I set something aside that may be part of a meal in the future, but I didn't just cook dinner. I saved. But as I'm going through these financial principles, two main thoughts just hit me like a ton of bricks. One, as always, every real estate investor will tell you this. This is information I wish I understood when I was 20. Don't we all wish for that? Personally, at 20 years old, my mind was not developed. It was not matured to really grasp these principles, maybe some of them, but a lot of these principles have a deep meaning that true understanding will only derive from years, experience, wisdom. But secondly, these aren't anything new. These principles are as old as time. The wealthy have always understood this for hundreds of years. But I was amazed at how many of these principles are reinforced with real estate investing. You see, we're real estate investors. I've been a real estate investor for 14 years now. I'll invest in real estate until the end of my days. And the recent turmoil in the stock market really makes one appreciate real estate, does it not? Right now, many real estate investors are salivating at the thought of turmoil and a recession. And that sounds harsh, but in turmoil comes massive investment opportunities. The deals are getting better and better right now for real estate investors. Interest rates are actually dropping. Yes, the Fed didn't lower rates, but real estate mortgage rates are dropping. I just invested in an apartment community a few weeks ago. I did a personal financial review this weekend. I do that about three or four times a year to see where my finances are. Do I have money to invest in more real estate? And actually, I do. I have some. I'm planning on investing in at least one or two more apartment deals in the near term. But yes, in turmoil, an effective investor takes action and deploys. Let's get into these principles. Number one, most people will work 40 to 50 years and have nothing to show for it. That statement, while sad, is so, so true. Let's just go into it a little bit. I want to talk about pensions for a second here. Pensions, because historically, you would work for a company for 40 or 50 years and they would say, thank you, and we're going to pay you a set amount of money for the rest of your life. That's how it used to be. That is all but gone. In the private sector, the public sector still has plenty of pensions. Kind of crazy. Those people are supposed to be working for us, and they have the best benefit plans out there. I think the discussion, though, is being elevated finally. Why is that? But let's get into it for the private sector. That's where the majority of us spend our working days, within the private sector. As of March 23rd, and this is from the Bureau March of 2023, this is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 15% of private industry workers in the United States have access to a defined benefit retirement plan. That's called a pension. Where was it in 2010? Well, that number was 20%. It continues to trend down. That is the broader trend of decreasing pension availability in the private sector. So what are companies and corporations, what have they done? They have shifted the retirement responsibility to workers. They've said, oh, we're not going to take care of you. Take care of yourself. Here are these plans that you can participate in. 401k, IRA, if you're doing it yourself. Not every company offers a 401k, but they're out there. So the 401k, for it to work, what do they tell you? Start when you're 20. Okay, that's interesting enough in itself. And then they say feed it for 40 or 50 years and you're going to need millions of dollars. People don't think they're going to need millions of dollars. You're going to need millions of dollars in this plan to truly have a dignified retirement and to essentially have money until the end of days, right? People are retiring and they're living 30 years, 40 years after they retire. Will you have enough money? Well, let's just look at average and median balance. And I think median gives us a much clearer picture as to how this plan is working out because it's failing. Let's just skip straight to 45 years to 54 years. The average is 168, but the median, which is more of a true statistic for where people are with these accounts, 50% have more, 50% have less, is $60,763. If you're 54 years old and you're thinking you're going to retire at 65 or 70 and you only have $60,000, let's say you're a go-getter and you're at the 168, that's still not even close to where you need to be for this plan to quote unquote work. That's why they're not working. Let's skip to the 55 to 64 year olds. Well, the average is $244,000, but the median is only $87,000. Hey, take 30 years. Here's $87,000. Have a nice life. That's not going to work at all, my friends. Not at all. It's nothing. And I truly think that my generation, Gen X, is going to be the generation that proves to the world that the 401k is a failed plan, something we've been saying for decades around here. It proves to the world. I realized that. I realized that in my early 40s. That's why I turned to real estate. I was reverse engineering the math, and I was a corporate guy, and I was hammering that 401k, feeding it. We were doing without. We would skip a vacation, but I'd never skipped paying the 401k. And then I started reverse engineering it, and I said, there's no way this plan isn't working. That's what turned me to real estate and ultimately to find an effective education within Lifestyles Unlimited. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't take action and create your own wealth plan. For example, investing and buying cash flowing real estate, buying streams of income, creating passive income, you're going to be one of those people left behind. And there are millions of you out there that are going to be left behind. Millions. It's coming, my friends. It's happening now, and it's going to happen at a very, very large scale over the next 10 to 20 years. Principle number two, the rich sell a product, the poor buy. Think about that for a second. What is our product as a real estate investor? Our product is clean, functional, affordable housing. Best product, best price, run by the best people. That's what we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited. What does the United States not have enough of? Clean, affordable housing. Well, that's the product we provide. If I shared with you that, hey, there's demand for 4 million of these, and you could easily be one of the people that are offering these units or single family homes for rent, well, the demand is incredible. Take that demand and purchase a property or engage in a multifamily property in an area where the economy is booming, where there's good jobs, and that's a great business to be in. So our product is clean, functional housing. So back to the principle, the rich sell a product, the poor buy. I want to be on the product offering side all day long. We'll continue these principles on the other side.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I want to talk about our Wealth and Passive Income Expo. It's coming up May 7th through 10th. I want to talk about it now, because if I don't, I might not get to it. Got a lot of these principles to share, and I already have a feeling I'm not going to get to all of them, but the promo code is live right now for Expo, and you can add it to your checkout page and save $100. We still have some tickets remaining, but if you text Expo, EXPO, to 88007, that will take you to the link. If you don't get your tickets now, you're going to miss out on it. It's the largest event of its kind, but it'll take you to the sales page, and it'll offer $100 off of any of our ticket passes. There's still a few ticket packages available that are out there. So you want to get to that now. Again, you can do it. You can save $100. Text EXPO to 88007. Okay, financial principles. Let's continue with these. The rich turn knowledge into income. The poor think a degree is the only way. Now, I'm not going to tell you that some degrees are not effective, because they are. But what you need when you go to college is you need to learn a skill that you can monetize. A skill that you can't just monetize for a low income or even an average income. It needs to be a skill that you can monetize for a nice or large income. Very, very important, because you're going to need that income to invest in real estate. But this is something I learned at Lifestyles Unlimited. And it's really what you learn in college versus what we've learned as real estate investors, what our program teaches you. College taught me how to be a great employee. Real estate effective education has taught me how to become wealthy. Real estate investing gave me financial freedom. College didn't do that, and effective education did that. And not to tout my shows, but I did talk about an effective education March 31st. You can go to that show again, podcast app or the website, and find it. But an effective education is priceless. And that's when I learned true real estate investing strategy. That information is priceless. But college today, unfortunately, a large part of it is nothing more than a business. It's nothing more than to sell you a degree plan in anything They don't care if you have a skill set that you can monetize for a large sum of money. They don't care about that. They don't care whether you're successful. They don't care whether you're happy. They don't care whether you become wealthy or satisfied in life. They don't care about any of that. They're there to sell you a plan. Here's the plan for you. Enjoy. But they're not checking up on their graduates 3 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, and seeing how they really did, and then going back and course correcting what they're teaching people. They don't do that. Once you're gone, hand you that sheepskin and say, sayonara, have a nice day. That's it. But college taught me how to be a great worker. Effective education as a real estate investor taught me how to change my life, taught me how to buy my life back one piece at a time. All right, continuing on with the principles. The rich automate wealth building. The poor automate payments for things they don't need, right? You don't own stuff. Stuff owns you. That's my favorite Dellism. I smile when I say that because it's so true. But the toys, the boats, the classic car, the jet ski in the garage that you've had for 10 years and you only ride it twice a year, stuff that you're taking care of. But no, we're automating wealth building. If we want to buy a toy, we're going to go invest in a stream of income and then let the stream of income pay for the toy. We're going to go build a cash flow snowball. We're going to build a real estate portfolio that sheds off cash monthly, quarterly, annually, and grow that and change our life. So we are automating wealth building as real estate investors. We call that chunking, right? You buy that first single family property, it's paying you $350 a month in cash flow. Can you retire? No, you can't retire, but you can darn sure pay your utility bill. Then you buy that next one, and it's another $350 a month. Still can't retire. We're only at $700 a month. We're making more money in the background as well, but it's unrealized at the time. But soon we're at four houses, five houses, and now we're talking about an extra $2,000 or $3,000 a month. Would that change your life? I would argue that $2,000 or $3,000 a month in passive income would change a lot of people's lives. And I was at that point and began to see it, right? I began to feel it. My wife took a great interest after we got our fifth single family property. She wasn't too engaged in what I was doing. But when you wake up, really a short amount of time later, less than a year and a half, and you're making $3,000-$4,000 a month on your rental properties, she took great interest in that. It began to course correct my life going forward. It began to give me time back that I could spend with my family. And it also gave me great desire to automate more wealth building, right? Buy that next stream of income. As I mentioned, I just participated in another multifamily investment just a couple of weeks ago. I plan to invest in two more over the short term, preferably by the time we get to early summer or midsummer. At least two more, one or two more. It depends on what I put or what deal comes across and just how I feel about it at the time. Continuing on the principles, your paycheck is not income. What you keep after taxes and inflation is. And I will also go on to say that a paycheck, even a great paycheck, is not wealth. It's what you keep. And beyond that, it's what you invest in. The riskiest position in life is having only one source of income. I understand that owning dollars is not the most effective use of wealth, so I then transform those dollars into assets. But the riskiest position in life is having only one source of income. I have over 30 sources of income, so I'm not relying on a paycheck. And understand that paycheck, it's not your income, it's what you keep. And that brings us to the tax side of it. Again, another reason why we invest in real estate, one of the greatest reasons of all, is the tax advantages. They're incredible. And those are things that I really didn't understand at first. But as the years have gone by, I understand it greatly now. The tax side, the tax advantages as a real estate investor are all written in your favor. It's absolutely incredible. All right, next principle. The rich avoid, speaking of taxes, here we go. This is right on time. The rich avoid unnecessary taxes. The poor don't even realize they can avoid taxes, right? They have no idea. They just do the 1099 EZ or 1040 EZ and fill out that form, and they've already given so much tax to the IRS that they get a little check back, and they're all excited about that. They don't even realize there are other ways to earn income. They don't even realize that you can offset the taxes with different types of investments. Real estate, again, is the most taxed advantage class in the world, okay? And this next principle will drive it home. This one says, you will never be free if someone else controls your income. As real estate investors, we control our income. We want more income, we buy another stream of income, right? We buy another investment, another cash flowing property. We invest in another multifamily property that has a return, that has a dividend. So we are in control of our income. When I have a property sale, one of the first things I want to do, especially, let's say that property was given, I don't know, $5,000, $8,000 a year, paying me those dividends, then essentially I took an income loss, right? Did I not? The property sold. It's first world problem. I now have more money to invest. However, I just lost that cash flow. And so immediately my plan is I need to replace that cash flow, right? I'm going to take a pay cut this year of $5,000, $8,000 because that wonderful property that was paying me $5,000 or $8,000 annually just sold. And so I need to replace that income. And so as real estate investors, we are able to essentially control our own income. Now, there's a guy out there. His name's Warren Buffett. Maybe you've heard of him, the Oracle of Omaha. What does he say about this? He says, having only one source of income is the riskiest position you can have, right? You're never in control if you're not controlling your own income. Layoffs and corporate mergers destroy lives. These are people that have one source of income. Suddenly, there's a corporate merger and they lay off an entire division, hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people. But when the weekly paychecks go away, people's lives are ruined. Families are destroyed. And then people get desperate, right? I've lost my job. I don't have a job. I'm struggling to find a new job. And then people get desperate. And I will take this from Dave Ramsey. We agree on some things together with Dave Ramsey, not everything. But he has a saying. He says, desperate and stupid are best friends. And so when people are desperate, they do things that are not effective. They do things that only make the matter worse. So yes, you'll never be free if someone else controls your income. Next, the rich focus on value, not price. This is very, very true. And real estate investors, we're focusing on value, not necessarily price. Price plays a role, but we look at a property and we're not saying we purchased the property, but we know it's worth more because we've done our analysis. Now, what's going to make it worth more? We're going to engage in that property. Typically, we're going to rehab that property. And that rehab is going to be to a level that creates value in the home. That's the equity capture. We're focusing on value. My main concern when I purchase a single family rental property, again, it's not necessarily price. It's more about what is my return on my out-of-pocket, right? How much am I coming out of my money? How much of my money is going toward this endeavor versus what percentage of return am I getting back? Am I making at least a 50% equity capture, often 100% equity capture? I'm focusing on that. Is my cash flow greater than 8%? I'm focusing on that. So cost is irrelevant because you can scale that investment. Whether it's a $100,000 home, a $200,000 home, a $1 million home, let's just say that's crazy for a rental property. But if you're making a 50% equity capture and an 8% cash flow return on that, price cost is irrelevant. We're looking at the value, right? Our concern is the metrics, our metrics, the return on what we're coming out of pocket with. That's what we're looking at. So we're looking at value. All right, continuing on. And we talk about this a lot. Your house is not an asset. It's an expense, but this is a principle the wealthy understand, and it's certainly a principle that real estate investors understand. For those of you that own your personal home, let me just say this again. How much did your home pay you last month? Well, let me just look at my personal home because I own a personal home. Over the years since I've owned it, my property tax has doubled. My insurance has doubled. Maintenance is ongoing. I have a list of things that I need to fix or work on that I'm constantly doing. Maybe touch up paint a bedroom, or someone's moving a sofa and, you know, kind of scrape the wall. We got to do that. There's always maintenance, but you need new roofs. You need to do this to your home. You might have a window that's fogged up. You need to replace it. It's an expense. You're paying more in expense. You're not getting paid by your personal home. So your personal home, while it may have been an asset, considered an asset for your parents' generation, it's not necessarily an asset today. Your personal home is very expensive. Next principle, the rich don't hope for a raise. They create new streams of income. Back to point, my previous point, we can control our own income by just buying another income producing property. So we're not wealthy people aren't hoping for a raise, right? They want to get a new boat or a new yacht or something along those lines. They're going to go buy a business and let the business buy the lot in the cash flow that comes from the business. Now, when I was a young corporate go-getter, right, when I first kind of got into the workforce, what was I doing? I was volunteering for everything, every new focus group, every new product launch team. If there was a due diligence of some company that we were going to purchase, I wanted to be on that due diligence team. If a manager went down for whatever reason, I would gladly pack my bags, go live in an extended stay hotel for months, a couple of months, usually no more than three, but I was still out of town and away from my family. But I would manage that business for the company until a replacement manager could be found. If a new employee needed training, send them to me. But why was I doing this? I wanted the promotion. I wanted the raise. Looking back, did that make me wealthy? No. Did health, wealth, happiness, joy, did any of that increase? None of it. None of it was improved. My family suffered because I was always gone, always working, because I was focusing on the raise. I wasn't focusing on creating a new stream of income. So when I talk about information that I wish I knew when I was young, I should have put my energy into finding another stream of income rather than my energy in just giving my life to the corporate world and basically leaving my family behind. It was not good for us as a family, but I understood at the time that's what I thought I needed to do to get ahead and get successful in life. I was fighting for the raise. Never until my 40s did I start fighting for streams of income. All right. The rich think about legacy. The poor think about survival. Real estate investing, a large part of our strategy is legacy, primarily involved in how we do our taxes and how we understand taxes and how the taxes affect the property. We defer, we defer, we defer. And when we pass away, we're going to leave that real estate portfolio at a stepped up basis to the next generation, to our heirs. Real estate investors, we want to change the pattern generationally. I want nothing more than independence for my children, mental independence, financial independence, independence of life to do what they want to do. Not everything they want to do, but the ability to really enjoy life and to understand what I didn't understand at a much younger age. If they could take the knowledge that took me until I was in my 40s to understand and start applying that knowledge in their 20s, they're not going to repeat my pattern. They're going to start at their young age and excel. They're going to do more than I've ever done. So why do you need more money? Why do you need to buy another stream of income to continue to grow the passive income coming in, the cash flow snowball? But we say this all the time in regard to legacy. You can't save your way to wealth. You cannot scrimp. You can't do without. You can't cut enough cost to make you a millionaire. So we're thinking about legacy. We're thinking about changing the generation. We're understanding how real estate passes through to the next generation. The poor, they're thinking paycheck to paycheck, survival, right? When things get tough for poor people or people that have the okay life, they just start cutting. They start cutting everything out. They're like, well, my property taxes have gone up, so we're going to get rid of cable TV or Netflix or start cutting that out. Or we're going to go to this cheaper plan, or we're going to buy a cheaper We're going to buy cheaper food at the groceries, but it's not getting them ahead. They're just doing without and suffering as a result. So the rich are always thinking about legacy, and they're thinking about tomorrow. They're thinking in years and decades ahead of time. Next, last principle. This will be the last one I get to. The rich don't fear debt. They fear missed opportunities. This, my friends, is so, so true for the real estate investor. When a great opportunity comes across and I don't have the extra money to engage in that opportunity, it truly hurts. I really fear the missed opportunities. But the whole time as I'm doing this, I always understood it's not about the money. It's about the lifestyle. Make it a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.